This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up on TMS, Scott blew up some TNT.
Stop mailing us wieners.
Please, it's okay to talk about spoilers.
George Miller says he is out.
The mayor was not afraid of no ghosts.
Crime goes drastic.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, I should hit the thing to play.
My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong is popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire.
How'd you get in here? Where's my dog?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Money is honey. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. TMS 4. The 13th, looks like, of January 2016.
What? 13th?
I said, no.
Scott says the 13th. I said, what?
She's great. Isn't she great?
She is great. Now, I want to know. Does the mother or the baby not have shoes on?
I assume it's the baby that doesn't have shoes on. But now that you say that, I guess it's not made clear. This is the only part I know for 100% right here.
The building is on fire.
That's all I know for sure.
We don't need no... What is it? We don't need no
education?
Something. Let the MRF-er burn.
Oh. What
water.
Was that?
We don't need no water. Let the it's
is this
the
song?
Roof is on fire.
Oh, that one.
The
yeah,
roof. The roof.
She may
the
as well
roof
be doing
is
that.
On fire.
Like this.
I said, oh girl, it's cold outside.
It's cold outside.
It's cold outside.
The building is on fire.
That'll warm your feet up.
Here, ready? Get that first clip ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
I really must go.
I said, oh girl, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
I said, oh girl, it's cold outside.
It really has been.
I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside.
Wow. Thank you, lady. You gave us a real moment there. Wow. That was amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get on with it. Let's do it. It's... Oh, I forgot to ask you about your recommendal this morning. I'm sure we'll figure it out as we get there. It's probably in the folder, and I just forgot
it. It is in the folder,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dummy. I'll get it. Don't worry. Anyway, it is the 13th, and it is January, and it is us, and we're hanging out and talking. We probably should pay attention to when the first TMS ever aired so that we can celebrate properly, and I'm going to look that up right now. So I have this archive file called Morning Stream Old.
Morning Stream Old,
yeah.
Right, because if you have all of the shows in one file,
yep.
it breaks the RSS feed.
This is correct. That is correct. Oh, it looks like the date is January 24th, 2011 was our start date.
Wow.
If we look at...
It's going to be on a Sunday.
Yeah, so we'd have to probably do a Monday.
We'll celebrate on the 25th.
Yeah, we'll make a big deal on the 25th. I don't
know
what we'll do.
Monday.
What do you think we do? Do we do anything? I don't know. What do we do? Do we do something?
I don't know. See, a five-year anniversary is a big thing.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
It feels like a nice... It's not an even number, but it feels like a nice, you know...
What does Hallmark say the five-year anniversary present is?
Oh, yeah. What is that? Give them something blue, and then they'll take a shoe? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's right. It's like paper. It's probably porcelain or something, right?
Plastic, porcelain,
diamond. Get each other porcelain Dalmatians.
Okay. I'm in. Wait. How about a little gnome? Or does it have to be a... it can be anything.
No, it can be anything.
All right. Yeah. I want a gnome. A little gnome.
Okay. All right.
All right. So don't forget. Well, you're out at Pier 1 Imports. Look for a
perfect
porcelain gnome.
I don't know if that's really... I think that was just...
I have no idea how that stuff works.
Yeah. Five is wood.
What?
Yeah. Five is wood.
All right. Make me something out of wood for the 25th, everyone.
We'll get some wood filament and I will make you a coaster.
Oh, that's good. So let's let's dig in here. I do want to make a quick mention of something. So,
sure.
You know, we have a personal connection to... the original showing of Tech News Today over on the Twit Network.
Right.
In that Tom Merritt and other good friends have been on that show.
Yes.
The likes of Ayaz Akhtar and, you know, others. People we respect and like a lot. And Jason Howell, still there, and remained there doing production after Tom left and started his own thing. But, you know, part of me was like, well, it'll never quite be the same without Tom. It's just not the same. And then later without Sarah, just doesn't feel
sure.
right.
Sure.
And then Iaz, and, you know, it was their baby, and then it just kind of felt like, well, okay, it's a new thing, but it doesn't really hold the same interest for me. However, I was invited to come back. Jason asked me to come back and be on with him and Megan yesterday.
Nice.
And they were awesome.
Oh, good.
They have got the coolest vibe on there right now. And I really, really dug it. And I was, happy to have been invited. But going in was a little bit like, I don't know, you know, what's this going to be like? Is it a
sure.
pale comparison of what it used to be? And they have turned it into just a really nice, awesome little show. And I don't know why I'm even saying this, but I'm totally impressed
why,
with it. And good
why
job
do you
to
sound
them.
So surprised? Right?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I'm so yeah. surprised. It's not that I thought it was gonna be crap or anything.
Of course.
I guess. I don't know. I have admired Megan since her time on Tech TV, and I really like Jason, obviously. And right. so I thought, well, that seems like a good combo. Turns out it's a great combo. It's really well done. So
I'm sure it's like The Daily Show, where you know, they may change hosts, mm-hmm. and that may change the feel of the show, but. The basis of the show, the thing that they are trying to communicate is great and can be delivered in many successful ways.
I agree. And they just have a good rapport, and I had a great time on there. So I would recommend checking it out.
Cool.
And seeing if you like that episode I was on, and then, you know, see if it's a thing you want to fit into your schedule. As Leo has once told me.
Scott Johnson's got quite the unit.
So don't forget that. All right, so there's one thing. Also, I want to ask you a question. Is this weird? Because this happened just before the show, and I've been doing it for a while, and I want to make sure that this isn't weird. So you're my weird meter.
All right, good. The needle is loose. It'll move appropriately.
Okay,
depending on how weird the following is.
It's at zero now, right? It either goes on the negative or the positive. Okay,
correct.
Higher?
Actually, no. It's right in the. It's actually in the middle.
Okay, right in the center.
It's red to the right and green to the left.
Okay.
So something can be like, that's so not weird, and it'll move to the left in the green.
Okay, so green is good, red is bad, right?
Right, right.
All right. When I do push-ups, which I did today.
Sure.
I do them on top of the Think Geek carpet I bought that is Han Solo and Carbonite. And it's my hands.
I didn't see where this is going.
And it's my hands on his hands. Because you know the Carbonite where he's going,
yes.
like this. Yeah. Oh, he's right behind me. That's right. Anyway, his hands are like that. And he's making that face like, oh, no, I'm in Carbonite.
Yeah.
And he says, I know. And then dies, right? Or whatever.
Right.
Gets frozen. And I do push-ups on his hands and, you know, back toward his feet. So it's as if he is doing push-ups on me from Carbonite. I am doing push-ups on him from the mortal realm, and I am up and down and sort of, you know, near his face and away from his face and near his face and away from his face.
Do you ever kiss him when you are at the apex of your push up? No, I guess that wouldn't be the apex. What would be the lowest point of your push up?
What is
when
the,
you kiss Han Solo? Yeah, that is the lowest point of your push up.
It's called the solo.
Right.
No, I don't know. I now that I think about it, maybe I have thought a little too much about what he would think if I was doing this on the actual Carbonite slab he was frozen in. Like,
right.
You know, like people. Okay, so you see a movie where, what was that Will Smith movie? Oh, it was Men in Black, where the mortuary lady's all into the dead bodies, and so she's like trawling all over the dead bodies. That was the feeling I get. That's the feeling I get sometimes.
So apparently I misread the meter,
weird
meter. The red and the green don't represent whether it's weird or not.
Yeah.
It's good weird is green, bad weird is red.
All right, where am I at?
And that's actually a good weird. It's a good solid weird.
All right, I'm glad I checked in. It just hit me though. Actual Carbonite slab. No. Sorry, chat room's kerfuffling me. Isn't that what you call it? He's in a Carbonite slab.
Yeah,
right?
Carbonite slab, sure.
Sure, that's what you'd call that.
Why wouldn't you call it a Carbonite slab?
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I don't make the comparison to Mortuary Lady and Men in Black because I would be like that.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah,
I'm not doing that. But I think it's funny that I've chosen that carpet and that I purposely put my hands on Harrison Ford's hands.
Sure.
And then do my push-ups.
Well, because they're about a shoulder width apart.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yep. And then I do sit-ups.
That's really funny.
I do sit-ups, and I'm in his lap. I'm laying.
Okay, good.
Okay.
If you did sit-ups on his face, that would move the needle into the red.
That needle would go, horinger.
Exactly, yes.
All right. Anyway, that's the thing that's going on.
You know, I guess, and it would be weirder if you did push-ups facing the other way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's as far as we're going to go on that.
Thank you for, I think it's enough. I think what you've said is plenty.
I think I may have even gone too far.
Well, you never know.
Oh, no, I've said too much.
Oh, no. How's that song go?
Just like that.
Oh, no, I've said too much. That's me in the corner, right?
Yep, that's the one.
That's me enunciating my R's. Because he does that a lot in that
he
album.
He does that a lot in that song.
Yeah, that whole album is like R's, 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 R's. Anyway.
Art-O-Matic for the People is the name of that album.
Art-O-Matic for the People.
Yes,
nice.
Art-O-Matic for the People.
Yeah. When did the one with the, hey, what's the frequency, Kenneth? That came later, didn't it? That was a, that was a newer.
I want to say that's from the same album.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's the frequency, Kenneth? Hold on, we got to look it up.
Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, Drive, Everybody what's Hurts.
The frequency.
Oh, you know what? No, I'm wrong. Automatic for the People. Out of Time, I think, is the one that.
Oh, there it is. Yep, that was the album everybody decided that they didn't like REM anymore. I remember right. There being a feeling of
they've
general
sold out.
Yeah, man.
They've gone too mainstream, man.
Too mainstream,
exactly.
Yeah. All right,
I liked it all.
It's
and
fine.
Monster the one? Yeah, Monster was the one with What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Oh yeah, there you go. That's just they're a great band. They'll always
they
be
really
a great
are.
Band.
You know what? And they've their sound has changed so much over the years that I guess if you know, grew up really loving the Murmur era, Driver 8, mm-hmm. and Radio Free Europe sound of REM, then the newer stuff is probably a little jarring for you. Maybe not your cup of tea.
Sure. I liked it all though. I don't think there's any of it I didn't like.
I'm with you. I liked Out of Time. I liked Monster. I liked Reckoning.
I didn't like when Michael Stipe Snapchatted a photo of his penis.
Well, you know.
I didn't like that.
Who does?
Well, no one really.
Nobody
not,
likes
not
that.
Me.
What a good segue.
Yeah, how about this one? Check this out. So I wanted to put your weird meter on middle again. Let's see how
all
we
right,
go here.
Let's reset the weird meter.
So that militia thing's still going on in Oregon, although the news cycle is sort of ignoring them at the moment. I don't know why that is. But anyway, they seem to sort of quietly be inhabiting that place. The funniest thing I saw was, oh, and I wish I could find it so I could quote it exactly, but it was a meme. It was a shot of Teddy Roosevelt, and it's one of these old shots with his, you know, one monocle and his, you know, rough rider looking face and all that. And it says, pardon me, fellas, GOP president and Republican whatever from Zubba year, Teddy Roosevelt here. And at the bottom it says, could you please get the F off the land that I personally dedicated to wildlife preservation or something, something. Thank you. Anyway, it was really funny. But the point is, here's these guys. They're up there hanging out. They're doing their thing. And they are getting sent things in the mail while they're up there. And according to this article by Gawker.com, who is always quick to jump on stories like this, they say this: no one ever said it was easy to stand against the federal government. It's cold. There aren't enough snacks. Everyone is pissy, and a bunch of strangers won't stop sending you hate mail. Oh, and penises.
Okay.
Oregon militia organizer John Ritzheimer. Yeah, we are here. You can send us the boxes of
Ritzheimer?
The penises.
Ritzheimer?
Yeah. We are up here now. We have taken over the whole place. He says this. They say he really, really hates Uncle Sam. But what he hates even more is all of the obscene and generally unhelpful emails and packages the strangers from around the country and Gawker are sending to this band of armchair commandos. In a new Facebook post, Ritzheimer said he is sick of all this garbage. Here's a quote. You ready?
Yep.
It's sad that there are people. No, I won't do it like that. It's sad that there are people who would send this kind of money on this this rather than spending it to do good in the world. I'm done living in fear of the opposing force. I'm going to uphold my oath to the Constitution and sleep great at night knowing I did everything in my power to ensure what our founding fathers did for us will not be lost. And then he had a video of him opening a package with a big giant wiener and then him throwing
dead
it.
Dead on Oregon accent right there.
Yeah, it's
the
pretty
way.
Good, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with the guy that there are better uses of people's money.
Right. So they're actually sending like
big
dildos,
rubber wieners and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought when I first saw the article, I thought they were sending like ballpark franks.
No, No, that would be awesome, though.
It would be awesome. Well, if they're sealed. Well, no, they still wouldn't be refrigerated in the mail.
They still need to eat is the thing up there. They're running out of snacks is the is the rumor.
Cocktail wieners in a can would be appropriate to send.
The only
that solves two problems, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It sends the message, mm-hmm. but it also says, here's a very unhealthy treat for you.
Here's the thing for you to eat, and also wieners. Here's the other thing I would say about Ritzheimer. I agree with him. There is a better use. People should spend that money on, I don't know, charity or give that, you know, buy some food for a local food bank. Or, you know, I agree with him. Don't send them wieners. There's no point in it.
Right.
We know they're doing what they're doing. Everyone's doing what they're doing. Fine, whatever. But here's where I have a problem with that guy. And I can't find the link. Gosh dang it. I need to find a source on this. Someone else can find it. But for a guy that hates the federal government, why he has a $510,000 loan from said government for some something he did as a farmer. Now, why would you borrow money from a giant organization you hate? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, I have direct relatives who hate, like vitriolic hate the government.
Sure.
And say it constantly, yet made a huge amount of money on a very specific subsidy from the government because they got into a certain business to take advantage of it.
And they're in no mind to say, nah, keep your money.
Keep your money. It's fine. But I hate you. But keep your money. Yeah, it doesn't work. People are full of crap is basically what I'm saying. Anyway, good luck up there, guys. May your pretzels never run out. They've been up there 2.5 weeks or something, right?
Jeez.
Something like that. What are all the tourists going to do? Or was that even a tourist place? I don't even know what it was. I know so little about the story, I shouldn't even talk about it. It shouldn't be allowed.
I'm afraid I'm with you, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't kept track of it. Anyway, let's keep moving. Let's keep going on. Let's go on with our lives. Let's call Daryl. Let's get him in here. Oops. Gosh dang it. Nothing's working right today. I shouldn't work out right before the show. It makes me jittery.
Really?
And like, well, I'm just full of energy.
You fat fingering everything?
I'm fat fingering everything. And my fingers are, honestly, they're a little fat. They're a little swollen from the, you know, the workout. You got a little adrenaline there and a little blood pumping into the extremities there. And wieners. Well, whoops, that's quiet. what is it? Oh, it's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today on the show, you're going to hear a tribute to David Bowie. It's, you know, it was inevitable that there would have to be a Coverville dedicated to the life and music of this great, great entertainer, songwriter, singer, and influence on popular music. So today, probably an extra long show dedicated to the music of the Thin White Duke, Mr. David Bowie.
Nice. The Thin White Duke.
Thin White Duke.
I used to wonder why dogs did that on the lawn sometimes.
The Thin White Dukes?
The Thin White Duke?
They have to lay there for a long time and get exposed to the oxygenation of the air, and then they turn white. That's how that works.
Yes. Okay. That's a weird thing, too.
White poo is weird. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I was in that? I was on that dirt bike in the rainstorm, and I cut across a lawn to get somewhere quicker, and a big hunk of dog dirter got on the tire there and flipped up and went right in my mouth. Did I tell you about that? Did I ever tell you about that?
Yeah,
it was a bad day, man.
Yeah, but I never get tired of hearing it.
It's maybe one of my worst experiences. I still to this day, it's one of my memories I'll never forget. It was awful.
Wow, something like that.
And you saw me wipe out in the grass after, just totally crash my bike.
For you, and you say, "Wow, this tastes like crap." You can actually say, "And I should know."
Well, at least dog crap. I don't know. That's like some kind of Alpo infused.
You don't have to qualify it.
Well, no,
they're
that's true.
They're not going to say, "Well, come on, really, what kind of crap does my food taste like?"
That's a good point.
And you're going to say, "Well, I've only had dogs, so that's really the only comparison."
It was Doberman excrement. Daryl, you've had this happen to you, you say?
Well, something not quite that bad. Mm. A friend of mine on the school bus once back in the olden days made me really mad.
My horses?
Yeah. What happened?
Well, he made me really mad, and I don't even remember what it was about, but I chased him off the bus, and I was going to chase him all the way home. I don't know what I was going to do if I caught him, but I ran across some dog poo. And he was kind of getting away from me. So I scooped up this dog poo in my bare hands and threw it at him.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
I'm trying to picture it.
Wow.
Wow.
You went all monkey on.
Did you hit him or would you?
No,
full chimpanzee.
That's the bad part. I missed.
Oh. Washington man heard to say, ooh, ooh, ha, 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 as he ran away. Wow. That's great. At least you didn't eat it, though.
Oh, no.
Look, keep in mind, everybody, I didn't consume the poo.
You poop like a girl.
I didn't consume the dog poo. It just went in there, and then I had a complete fit trying to get rid of it, trying to expel it from my life.
The taste is in your mouth.
Gosh, it still is, too. All right, nobody send us that for tasting on the morning stream. Daryl, let's get to the crux of the problem, which is we have a Star Trek question to solve, to answer. The world can't go on until we do.
Right.
And by the way, I was going to ask, have either of you yet watching The Expanse on Sci-Fi?
No, still finishing up. I'm in season 4 of Doctor Who, if that's...
That's something. That's all right.
That's something.
Yeah, yep. I like that. Eccleston's gone, right? He's not
Eccleston's gone. I've been in the David Tennant seasons now for 3 seasons. This is the 3rd season of Tennant. And Martha, the companion, is gone. Kylie Minogue was in for one episode as companion.
Yeah. Why only one episode? What happened there?
It was a Christmas special.
Oh, all right.
And she's just lovely. I love Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, she's great. She's just a chipper. You know what? She's part of your whole Spice Girls problem.
She really is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like if the Spice Girls were Australian, she would have been an on-air. She would have been Kylie Spice.
That's right. Basically. Kylie Spice. Yes. Minogue Spice. Yeah.
Yes. So now we're on to the return of Catherine Tate, who you know as Nellie from The Office.
Hold on. Nellie. Oh, from the front desk. No.
No, not Ellie Kemper. Nellie was the British lady that they brought in to run the place after Michael Scott.
Right. She was the weird one that hung around with the other guy that I don't remember either.
Yes. Okay. James Spader.
Right.
Something California.
What was his name?
It was
great. He was
David California. No, it wasn't David.
Because he left that to do Blacklist, and I remember being sad. Because he was so. I thought he was so perfect funny.
He was so good. He's great in Blacklist, though.
Yeah, he's really good.
Here's a weird little secret, and this is something my mom doesn't listen to the show, so I can share this.
All right.
But talking to her, after the first season of Blacklist, and she's saying, "Are you watching Blacklist?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's really good. It's a good story. Really good, suspense." She's like, "Yeah. And I have a crush on James Spader."
She's like my sister in 16.
How could you have a crush on James Spader?
She's like my sister during 16 Candles time or something when he was a jock.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty in Pink.
I think he has a charm to him that is difficult to deny. But
he has charisma out the wazoo.
Yeah. Well, yes. Depending on what your definition of his wazoo is. But yes. Oh my gosh, that's something my dad used to say all the time.
Wazoo.
Get your wazoo in here and get your homework done.
Sure.
It's always get my wazoo in here. It's very generational. Anyway, well, Daryl, don't throw any more poo, all right?
Yeah.
If you had a Chinese name, it'd be Yu Flung Poo. All right, we're going to get to the question here. Here is a clip. You have to tell us what episode this comes from, all right? Here it is.
Would you gentlemen care to show me your tickets?
I believe we left our tickets in our compartment. Mr. Worf, I told you to bring the ticket.
I forgot. I don't think you folks belong on this train.
I'm usually.
Sounds like Ernest Borgnine.
He does, but he's
got 50 credits.
He's dude from all the Coen movies. Who died recently?
He's in Dune too, right? Same guy.
Maybe. Remember Big Lebowski, the guy that was in charge and was in the car yelling at him. Had Seymour Hoffman sitting next to him, and also, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He was like that guy. What's his name?
I think he was the guy from Dune.
He ran out in Hudsucker Proxy. He jumped. He jumped off the chair or the conference table.
Yes.
I can't think of his name. That guy.
He was the actual Big Lebowski.
Yeah, he's amazing, that guy. We love that guy. And I can't think of his name.
Pappy O'Daniel is...
Pappy O'Daniel's the name in Oh Brother. He's Hudsucker whatever... Hudsucker in the Hudsucker Proxy.
No, Robert Redford, I thought was... Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, Robert Redford wasn't...
He wasn't in it, even. You get the wrong movie
Sorry, not Robert. Paul Newman.
Paul Newman was in it, but he wasn't...
The other dude, but he wasn't Hudsucker.
No, Hudsucker was the founding dude of the company.
W. Lee O'Daniel.
Yeah. That's the name of the actor? Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Freaking love that guy. Shouldn't have died, although we all will at one point. We're all dying right now. I don't know if you knew that.
Is that right? No. I'm sorry. That is not right.
That's not his name?
That's just what came up in Google. Wow, Google failed me right there.
Google fail.
Wow, have a look. If you do a search for W. Lee O. Daniel. I'm going to give you these search results.
Daniel. It says here he is a
former governor of Texas.
Yeah.
But also has apparently was a singer.
Oh.
Member of a group called the Light Crust Doughboys.
Light Crust Doughboys?
Yes. And are you? I'm on his Wikipedia. On the right side of the page?
I'm on his Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah. No, go back to the Google page. No. I'm going to give you my results because this is mind blowing.
I don't think I got the same
results. Click the link in Skype there.
All right, clicking. Okay, I see it. I'm looking over here.
You see on the right side of the page, they give you a W. Leo Daniel, former governor of Texas.
Are you talking about the songs?
I'm talking about his most popular song.
All right, his second most popular is Beautiful Texas. Third is That's All, Brother. Fourth is You Got What I Want. And finally, Doughboys theme song number one. If you would like to know what number one is, it's got to have something to do with like a cat or something.
It's got to be. It's an affectionate name for a cat repeated three times.
All right. Or a derogatory term for female anatomy.
Right.
Here's a version of it. You ready? Here's the song.
Sure.
All right. Oh, this is some old-timey business.
I love this already.
Yep.
Say, fellas, I lost my little pussycat. Will you help me find it?
Of course, of course, of course, of course. Come on, gang, let's call it. Here, pussy, 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 pussy.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I want that whole song.
Me too.
Here, I'll give you the link. It's pretty funny. All right, it's just a YouTube video.
Fantastic.
Oh, Internet, you've given us so many things, and we just want to give back. All right. Well, Daryl, so your options are Emergence, Ship in a Bottle, Time's Arrow Part 1, or Clues. That's Emergence, Ship in a Bottle, Time's Arrow Part 2, or Part 1, rather, or Clues. Those are your options. I would like you to think hard because while you do, you got to tell us what happened.
Really, really quickly, Charles Durning is the actor.
Oh, Charles Durning, duh. I knew that.
Yes.
Durning. And doesn't he have a daughter that's an actress? Like Geraldine Durning or Charlene Durning?
I'm looking. I think so. That sounds familiar.
Why is that ringing a bell?
Durning.
Well, anyway, whatever. Mm. My grandpa used to say Dern.
His IMDb page doesn't mention a daughter.
Okay. Well, that he knows of. Just
kidding. Don't call me daughter.
Daughter.
Oh, he was in Dune, wasn't he?
He was. You're thinking of a different fat guy.
I am. The guy who had the floating suit.
Yeah, that's not him.
So I'm thinking that's not Charles.
Different guy. Anyway, yeah. Daryl.
What happened today in Trek history?
Yeah, what happened today in Trek history? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. Well, back on this day, way long ago in the year 2012. It was the second day of filming on Into Darkness.
Oh, the latest in the film franchise reboot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. For a while, anyway.
Yeah. That featured, spoilers are up, Khan.
What? Yeah.
Khan. That's right. All right. Well, there you go. That's actually a notable time, I guess. When's that new one out? This year, right? Sometime?
Yeah, this year sometime.
I'm actually looking forward to that, just to see what they do with it. I want to see what... what's his name? Jason Lin? What's his name, director? Anyway, the Fast and the Furious guy. I want to see what he does. Because the guy knows how to make action look real good, and Star Trek movies are often action-oriented. Mm-hmm. This could be, I just want to throw it out there, this could be his stepping stone, as it was for J.J. Abrams, his stepping stone into being considered for a future Star Wars film of some sort. Because, they go after these guys that are good at the action business.
Right.
They just announced they hired the Jurassic World dude to do one of the upcoming films, 9, I think. Episode 9? I think so. And I don't know that Jurassic World was a great movie by any stretch. It was a fun movie, but if you break it down to its component parts, it's very Spielberg Lucas, that movie.
Like it is. It's entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels very much like their style of film. So I think he might be just fine for the job. Anyway, we'll see. Daryl, back to the question. Emergence, Ship in a Bottle, Time's Arrow Part 1, or Clues, which one of those is the one where they argued with the train guy, which I think was like another, oh no, the holodeck has run amok episodes.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And
I remember it being okay, like not hating it, thinking it was all right.
I was thinking that the train thing was part of some weird seventh season weirdness, like visiting Q or something. They had to take a train to get to Q or something.
Q train.
The Q train. Get on board the Q train.
The Q line is
that the kid, that's what the kids say.
Right, yes. Nice. You gotta take the Q line to the fourth exit.
Okay. I'm just gonna guess. I think I'm probably wrong. I don't think it's any of the last three. So that just leaves the first one.
First one, Emergence.
I guess.
All right. I'm gonna say you're locked in on your answer, but I was gonna say I feel like it's part of a multi-parter for some reason, and I don't know why I think that.
So you would, yeah.
I would have said
Time Zero.
I would say Time Zero. Well, let's find out.
Because they go old timey on that one.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Well, that's they don't go on a train or anything. They just go back and forth to get Data's head with the what's his name, the writer guy.
Wait a minute.
Mark Twain.
This is not a horror.
They take a train in that episode? No.
Did they? I don't know. But I loved his Twain is great. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
It's iconic. It's just always, what I believe is what I am, Mr. Picard.
I mean, just, there's no, when you've gone that far back in history, we've got writing, obviously, lots of stuff that Mark Twain wrote, but no video of Mark Twain, right? So,
right, we don't know what he sounded like.
So we're just making that all up.
Right, but we have to assume that that's exactly what Mark Twain was like.
Mark Twain.
It's like Lincoln. You know, you see all these representations of Lincoln. And it's not like people can say, well, that's not terribly authentic.
Oh, I have you know what? We do have his voice. Hold on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, check this out.
You have never heard his voice.
Oh. Wow. There's a YouTube video called Mark Twain's Voice that you would think would let us know what his voice would sound like, but that is the most clickbait thing I've ever seen. Right. Let's see what else this guy says.
Likely that you ever will.
Okay.
No existing recording of Mark Twain's voice is known.
We already know this. Goodbye. That's terrible.
Way to like tell us in the first few seconds that you do not have the thing of which your YouTube video is titled.
Yeah, the thing we all came here to hear. You don't have it. Very upfront of you.
Well, at least they don't lead you on for 30 minutes and then at the end say they don't have it.
Well, right. The video has 60,000 views. I'm guessing every one of those views is from people wondering if Mark Twain had ever had his voice recorded.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. All right. Anyway, you say Emergence. We say, what is it?
Congratulations.
You're right. It is.
You're a winner.
It's from season 7, and you're right about that as well. The holodeck acts up again and is representing what the ship is doing. So everything's like a part of the ship talking, basically. Ship is creating a new form of life of some kind, and the events happening on the holodeck are an interpretation of what is happening. I actually really like that. I remember liking it. I thought it was good. It was a nice
season 7 episode. How can you like that?
I know. It seems weird. But it was a very high-minded one. It felt very experimental and different. And I always respected Trek, even when it was done sometimes a little hokey. I always respected its willingness to try.
So TV Zegon says that if you go to that video and go to 1 minute 25 seconds.
Yeah,
You will hear what Mark Twain sounds like. And Ninja Steve, I know there are photos of Lincoln. I know we know what he looks like. I'm saying we don't know what he sounded like.
Yeah, we know what he looks
like.
Or
his mannerisms.
Yeah, that's okay. So 120. What'd you say? 127.
125.
125. All right, I'm getting there. This is about 120. So we'll lead in. Here we go.
The small towns in New England.
That's not him.
Imitations of actors and celebrated people.
Yeah, that's not him. That's a friend of his.
Oh, really?
Talking about him. Yeah, that's not him.
It's a legendary actor, James Cromwell.
Yes.
Right there.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
James Stewart.
All right, well, there you go. The guy I'm thinking about. Who played him on Trek? Mark Twain on Trek, do you remember?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
We've seen him in a film sec thing and said that's exactly.
Well, here he is right here. Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain. Here we go.
He's one of the thousands of species that we've encountered. We live in a peaceful federation.
Real quick, species or species? Where do you go?
I say species.
Yeah, me too.
All right, species is wrong, Troy.
My body.
Okay, hang on.
Most of them. The people you see are here by choice.
So there are privileged few who serve on these ships.
Yes, yes. This isn't an exaggerated stereotype at all. Mr. Data.
Yeah, he totally talked like that all the time. All right, what are we doing? Oh, we're ending this with Daryl's, what he does. He's on Twitter, the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also on This Week in Trek, and the Grumpy Cast. All right, now, Daryl, play with us a game that you made that you are pulling from your archives of dead material that you probably never intended to use in the first place.
Yeah, and since you said that, I'm going to use this one because I am tired of seeing it highlighted, and it's not really, it doesn't fit in the way we do things, but right. I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
Which of the following were on Star Trek? Biomolecular scan 4077.
Okay.
Composite sensor analysis 4077. Jeez. Or autonomic functions warning 4077.
All right. Here's your theme. For real.
What in the hell is going on out there?
All right. That's your theme.
Perfect.
I don't know. Brian, it's a complete guess.
It is a complete stab in the dark. The third one.
Yeah, third. We say third.
Well, you're right, because they all were.
Oh, it's a little tricky question there.
Yes.
Oh, I like what's going on. It must be cold outside.
I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. All right.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Time for the news brought to you
by. Say, what's in this drink?
I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside.
The news brought to you by Newegg. They're the leading tech-focused e-retailer in the United States with great deals every day on its entire catalog of more than 10 million products. 25 million registered users rely on Newegg for its huge selection of products at great prices backed by the best customer service in the business. For more information, visit Newegg.com and be sure to shop Newegg's XYZ printing store for a great selection of 3D printers, filaments, and accessories.
Seems like a plan. Oscar Isaac, you know him from a few things. He did that HBO thing he just got a Globe for.
Right.
He did. He's a bald, crazy man, the inventor, software maven.
Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina. And he was in most recently Star Wars The Force Awakens as Poe Dameron, the dashing and very accurate TIE fighter pilot.
That's right.
Or not TIE fighter pilot.
Guatemalan, right?
His origin? I didn't know that.
His origin. Yep.
He is able to look very different no matter what he does. Like he can put
he
on
really is, yeah.
Shave his head, totally different guy. Long hair, put a weird suit on him, totally different guy. Like he is a chameleon of sorts. It's really right. weird. Anyway, he says that it's okay to talk about Star Wars spoilers, and it's time. Everyone needs to stop avoiding it, he says. Since The Force Awakens was released nearly a month ago, by the way, think of that. Mm-hmm. It's been an ongoing struggle to keep its plot points ambiguous for those fans who have put it off. This has made discussing and writing about The Force Awakens rather difficult. But one of the stars, Oscar Isaac, who plays pilot and badass Poe. Really?
Badass Poe.
Who wrote this cinema blend? He has recently spoken regarding Star Wars spoilers and would like us all to stop tiptoeing around them. So here's what he says. There you go, ladies and gents. Should I go ahead and read this? See, I'm nervous to say this.
What, that first thing? You can say that.
Well, I thought there was something in the... I cut it out. Never mind. There's an actual reference to the big reveal that I don't want to do. That's why I didn't put it in here. Okay, it says, here you go, ladies and gents. General Leia's most trusted pilot has spoken. There comes a point when being considerate becomes being ridiculous. After all, The Force Awakens was released on the 18th of September, or December, rather, which will be 1 month in just a few days. You'd think that anyone who was worried about spoilers would have stepped up and bought their ticket by now. Hear, hear, Poe Dameron.
Right.
I agree. So I feel like starting next Monday, if those points come up, we can talk about them.
Right.
Because yes. Who isn't going now?
Yeah, we're not going to just openly blurt out, what did you think about when...
Right. If you're somebody who is like, well, I don't go to Star Wars
movies
in the theater. I wait for the Blu-rays. Well, right. I can't help you. I can't do it, okay? Yes, we're going to talk about it. We're not going to on purpose talk about it, but if it comes up and someone says, oh, yeah, that thing with the deal, we're going to talk about it.
Right, right.
All right, we've made our voice clear. Now, this next thing is...
How are you going to do this?
All right, it's important, though, because it's news. So I want you to read the headline, and then remember, if someone brings it up, then I can talk about it.
That unlocks the door.
I realize we're loopholing the rule here.
If I don't read the headline, you don't get to... do the story, do you?
I can say the person's name, and then people will infer what I'm talking about.
Oh, all right.
I can try. You want to see how I do with that first?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right.
Director George Miller says he won't make any more Mad Max movies.
Oh, since you brought it up, Brian, let's talk about this for a second. So he has ruled, he has seemingly ruled himself out from making any further ones, right, even though there's contracts for further ones to be made. He says
Which
he's
is funny because we said like yesterday, we were saying that with the Furiosa movie,
mm-hmm,
you know, he was going to do more Mad Max movies, but not continue that, but not, it would continue that character's storyline, but not, obviously, Furiosa wouldn't be part of that.
Well, it was a quote where he said he would like to see her story. Like, a lot of vagaries about it. And people assume this means, oh, yeah, he's on board to make a bunch of stuff. But apparently, after the Globes, this is what he says. Let me find it right here. He says, it's open to rave reviews. Now it's grossed more than $375 million. But its lengthy shoot was notoriously grueling and plagued by delays. Quote, I won't make any more Mad Max movies, Miller told Page Six of the Golden Globe Awards in Los Angeles Sunday night. He says Fury Road was forever getting completed. If you finish one in a year, it's considered a leap of faith. Start, stop, start again, unquote. I've shot in Australia in a field of wildflowers and a flat red earth, and it rained heavily forever.
Wow.
Veteran director continued.
It's an R.E.M. lyric, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's me in the corner. He says, we had to wait 18 months and every return to the U.S. was 27 hours. Those Mad Max movies take forever. I won't do those anymore, unquote. Wow. Now, I'm both sad and also he's a little ballsy. He's at the Globes. Oscars aren't even here yet. And he's already going, yeah, that was hard. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm of the opinion, as you know, it's his magnum opus. It's the greatest thing he's ever put to film. So,
sure,
he can go out now and I would be like, fair sales, dude.
It's a good way to go out. Right. Exactly.
I will salute you for what you have done. You have made a very special thing and you can now go off and make another Babe movie or whatever you want to do. But the films will get made and I don't know who will do them, but right. I'm not going to be one of those nerds that goes, and I'm worried now. I'm worried about the
people. Everybody wants Mel Gibson to direct.
Oh my gosh, dude. What a terrible idea.
I never saw The Beaver. Maybe it was pretty good.
There's a sub story where a bunch of...
Oh no, Jodie Foster directed that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, The Beaver was her. He was supposed to be good in that, though, I heard.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. I never could bring myself to see it, though. But right. If he directed it, it'd be like this. All right, they're going to be in the desert, see? A bunch of cars and stuff, and a bunch of Jews try to take their cars and gas away from them. So we got to take out the
character, Sugar Boobs.
Yeah, Sugar Boobs. She's a Jew.
Right.
She's not a Jew. She's anti-Jew.
He did direct Apocalypto, which I thought was great.
No, his movies, the movies he's directed, that and the Jesus Rave movie.
Art and Passion of the Christ. Yeah. I never saw Passion of the Christ.
Was it Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was Last Temptation of? Oh, that was the... That was Scorsese did that.
Scorsese, right.
Right. I am a fan of Mel Gibson directed movies. I think Braveheart is still awesome. Holy crap, yeah. That movie's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I wish he'd do more of that. More time doing that, less time being crazy in his personal life.
Exactly. All right, we're done talking about it.
Yep, that's it. Rule has now ended. My open
return you to
our regular schedule. I mean, tomorrow they're getting announced, so after tomorrow I can talk all I want.
Well, yeah, but there are people who are doing that Facebook thing saying that if you go all the way until the Oscars, they'll continue to donate to Alzheimer's.
Oh, well, then I will go all the way to the Oscars then. Nice. That's well, worth it to me. And plus, listen, all I need Thursday is the satisfaction. Right. Which I know I'm guaranteed
You're
to get.
You're guaranteed to
There's
get.
No way I'm not getting it.
Yeah, it's first thing in the morning, right? So we'll come in tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll mention it once. Or we'll say, you know what? Here's what we'll do. We'll just go. The show has to report on that, so we will talk about that. Brian will do again his little talk. He'll say a name, and then I can respond. Okay, it's fine. We got this rule all worked out. David Margulies, no relation to Juliana, I don't believe. Juliana Margulies,
right?
Well, the mayor in Ghostbusters, he has died. He has ceased to be. He was 78 years old and has died. A very versatile character actor, performed in scores of supporting stage, film, and television roles. You've seen him everywhere, but iconically, I think you saw him in Ghostbusters.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
He was the mayor of Ghostbusters as Tony Soprano's sleazy lawyer, also on The Sopranos. Died on Monday at his home in Manhattan. He was 78 years old. Cause was cancer, his sister Vicky said. F cancer. Just a reminder, right. Cancer sucks. And My doctor friend the other day told me, he says, you know, people are going to be more and more mad at cancer. I said, why? He says, because we're living longer and everyone will eventually get cancer because our cells break down if you live long enough. So some people get lucky and live to be 99 and never get touched by the thing. But if they live to 120, they get it too eventually, because cancer is by its ultimate form. It sucks when it happens early and it never should. Like Alzheimer's or anything else, it can happen early, but it eventually is going to happen, man. Like these cataracts I had, Brian, that were genetically early.
Right.
You're going to get them if you live long enough.
Sure, of course.
You could be 80, you could be 90, you could be 60, you don't know. So cancer is here to stay. Well, that's a depressing thing. Let's move on.
Great. I think I liked it better when you were talking about Mad Max.
Yeah. He played the lawyer Neil Mink in 8 episodes of The Sopranos. Pretty memorable, I thought. He was great.
I remember him also, they mention up above the dad in Brighton Beach Memoirs, Jonathan Silverman's dad. That was such a great movie. That and Biloxi Blues, so
Biloxi
good.
Biloxi Blues is really good, except that one part. What was the part I'm thinking of? There's a part I didn't like in Biloxi Blues. No, it wasn't the sex part, everybody. Relax. Something else. Right. There's something that bugged me in that movie that it took me out of it. And I can't remember what it was.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I liked it, though, overall. Yeah. I mean, that's based on a play, right? Some kind of Neil Simon thing or something. Yeah. Is it Neil Simon?
Yeah, Neil Simon does all that stuff. Like, all of it is plays first, and then they make adaptations of it.
His is he did Jazz Singer, right? Is that him? Is that a Neil Simon joint?
That one I don't know. I know like Same Time Next Year and The Anniversary, The Odd Couple.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, that's him. Right, sure. Murder by Death, The Goodbye Girl. Let's see here.
Murder by Death? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Didn't we watch that for FilmSack?
No, we watched the other one, Clue, but we want to see Murder by Death.
Murder by Death is so good.
I love Murder by Death.
Yes.
I was a huge fan. When I was growing up, everybody talked about Clue, and I was like, you guys don't know.
Exactly.
It's all about Murder by Death.
California Suite. That's the one I was trying to remember.
What's another
Goodbye
one?
Goodbye
Girl. Oh, he's the Death of a Salesman's him, right? No?
No, that's that is...
Neil Patrick Harris. Jim Bob Marino. Larry the Cable Guy.
It's another Neil, though, right?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It was the guy who's married to Marilyn Monroe, I think. Oh my gosh. Why is it not coming to me? Arthur Miller.
Oh, Arthur Miller, right.
Arthur Miller, yeah.
Right. The Arthur Miller Collection.
That's right. Wasn't he married? He was married to...
I don't know. She married like 8 people, wasn't she? Yeah, Neil Armstrong. That's the guy.
Did not marry Neil Armstrong.
Okay. Well, anyway, that guy died.
1956 to 1961, he was married to Marilyn Monroe.
Fair travels, dear David Margolies. Margolies.
Margolies.
May the Ghostbusters world ever miss your mayoral leadership.
Another J. Martin. It was the guy that was Pumbaa. Don't try.
Yeah, don't even
don't
go
Don't try
there.
To get us started.
Yeah, don't you dare. They want to take us down a very, very fateful road again.
Because they know. Yeah. You know, all it takes is...
It's funny the Lion King has played such an important role in our lives. Amazon Prime in the news. This is good news, Brian.
Yeah, it is.
You're a member. I'm a member. Wouldn't you like to be a member, too? The Amazon Prime members, that's us, get 20% off brand new games to counter Best Buy, GameStop, and EA Access. So check this out.
That is awesome.
It's this loyalty program. It's pretty good. Amazon is adding a 20% discount on new physical discs. So these are physical video games, not downloadables, which kind of sucks if you ask me.
Yeah.
I do all. I don't. When's the last time I bought a disc? I've never bought a disc.
Battlefront, Just Cause 3, both were disc purchases for me.
I would have totally downloaded those. They suck as gifts, you know, like they're more fun if they're a disc, if it's a gift or something.
Yeah, but the pain in the butt with that, though. Mm. With having them digital is I've got Destiny as digital. Yeah. Like what if my hard drive gets full?
Yeah.
Can I delete just the game but keep my data in case I decide I want to play?
Oh yeah, it's all cloud saved and everything.
All right.
Yeah. But on like PCs, especially for me, like I can't even tell you the last time I bought a disc game and I have hundreds of them.
Oh, well, for PC, yeah.
Yeah, and if you upgrade a lot of like some I may do this with my PlayStation 4 but get like a 2 terabyte drive in that thing. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have all the room you'd ever need.
Right, exactly.
And
never a problem.
I want to do that. But no, you make a point. I mean, it's a good point. For console games, it's still a thing. I just wish that they would offer the same discount for sure. Downloadables. But anyway.
Plus, you can sell it later when you're sick of it.
Good point. Amazon is adding 20% discount to all these new physical discs. These are Prime members. And that means you have Amazon Prime for the free two-day shipping, the Amazon Instant Video services, and its music stuff. And now you save money on any new releases of PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Again, all physical. For a $60 console game, for example, you'll save about $12. Console and PC gaming is a $55 billion business. I swear we were just talking about how it was about a $12 billion business. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Anyway, wow. They are trying to build loyalty, and this combats similar things happening over at GameStop and Best Buy and some other stuff. So
cool. Glad Love to see it. Thank yep. you, Amazon.
Competition is good for us.
It's kind of crazy. You know, Amazon's one of these companies that says, yeah, you know, we're not going to jack up the price for this, but we're just going to give it to you as a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, well, and then like they could have easily said, well, we're going to increase the annual price of Prime to $105. It's 99
it's
now.
It's 99
right?
now, but they did do that.
It was 79 for a while.
It was 79 for a while. I remember when it was like 59 or something. Maybe something that was introductory. Like that. Could be. Yeah. Went up later. But anyway, it still seems like it's a good idea.
Right.
For us, I mean, you know, we win is the point.
We win.
Yeah. This episode of TMS is brought to you by Casper. We love Casper. I own one of their mattresses. I freaking love them. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of what you're paying now. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you. There's two technologies at play here, latex and memory foam. I have one. I love it. How do I know I love it? They gave me a 100-day risk-free trial. I could send it back anytime I wanted. Got it online. They sent it directly to my door. I set it up. And I said, I may send this back if I don't like it, but I ended up loving it, and I kept it, and so can you. Again, that's 100 days, absolutely free. Terms and conditions apply. You can go to casper.com/terms for more info. Not some showroom, not some bed a million other people have been on, your own, and you get to try it out. They're all made in the USA. Go get one now, save some money. Additional $50 off if you go to casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be time with Nicole. Time with Nicole is what we're looking forward to after this. So coming back for that here in a minute, we'll talk about recommendals. We got a great theme today. After that, Tom's Tech Time and some phone calls today. All that and more coming up. Before that, though, Brian brought music.
Yeah, Stefan the Swede.
The Swede. Swede, yeah.
Blue Suede, and said, Nerdtacular made me a very happy man, to the extent that I actually started to talk to a random woman on the plane from the USA to Europe. It happens to be that I had a 7-hour flight where I talked to this Polish girl who is now my girlfriend.
Whoa!
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
We visited each other several times, and I do think that we have a future together. To celebrate this, I wish for a song for my birthday. I loved punk when I was young, and maybe something Polish or punkish would be great. Love you guys. Signed, Stefan the Swede.
I remember him. He was very cool. He talked to my sister too. A long time as well.
He came with someone else, right? It was like two of them who traveled.
Is he the one that looked like Peter Stormare or the other guy?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay, because one of them looked like Peter Stormare, who we are huge fans of.
Right. We're a fan of him too. Hopefully.
Yeah, and every time he would walk away, I'd ask both the other guy, guys. Is that your friend in the Mexican restaurant over there then or whatever? I was always trying to make jokes. I freaking love that. Anyway, yeah, he looked just like him, and he was a super nice guy. In fact, the Swedes, always nice.
Totally. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Love those guys.
All right. So his request was any Offspring/Sex Pistols/Ramones song by any Polish band. And I did a search in my library. I don't have a cover of the Offspring, the Sex Pistols, or the Ramones by a Polish band. I do, however, have a cover of the Ramones by the Offspring, two of the bands he mentioned.
Whoa.
So there's a little bit of, you know, there's an intersection right
sure,
there.
Sure.
Where we can all happily live. This comes from the 2003 tribute to the Ramones called We're a Happy Family. It is the Offspring, got to keep them separated, and I Want to Be Sedated.
To 24 hours ago, I want to be sedated. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. I want to be sedated. Just get me to the airport and put me on a plane. Hurry, 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 before I go insane. I can't control my fingers, I can't control my brain. No, no, oh, 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 oh.
to know where to go. I wanna be sedated. Just put me in a wheelchair and get me on a plane. Hurry, hurry, hurry before I go insane. I can't control my fingers, I can't control my brain. No, no, oh, oh, oh.
That with your new mechanical arm, you can shift gears in less than a 20th of a second. Would you care to comment on that?
Appy bum.
I am the Führer of the beach. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. Right. That was a raucous version of that. I loved it.
It was. Yes.
They're good. Turns out they're perfect at that song.
They are, yeah.
Seems kind of like maybe the Ramones influenced them a little bit.
Little bit, yep.
Yep.
Before we pull in Nicole, apparently we need to do this.
What's that?
You need to get your iPhone out, or I'll do it with mine.
Okay.
And say, hey Siri, beatbox for me.
Oh, no way.
Here's one I've been practicing. Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. I could do this all day. Cats and boots and 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 cats.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. See if she does the same thing to me.
I'm sure she does.
Hey Siri, beatbox for me.
Here's one I've been practicing. Boots and cats.
Ah, she does the same thing. I was hoping it was going to be random.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. Every once in a while, they insert these things in there, you know.
Right.
It's kind of great. It's kind of great. I like it, too. They have a sense of humor.
And are as entertained by that.
Good. Well, any working cat who's a companion, if you know what I'm saying, should enjoy it. All right. Let's Nicole this up. Let's Nicole this thing up.
All right.
Get all Nicole up in here. All up in this biznatch. Let's see. Here we go. Meant to add her by now. Didn't know. There we go. Okay. She's coming in. She's going to be here to talk to us about stuff and recommendals.
Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole.
Nicole Spagnuolo. What's going on?
Woo-hoo. I finally set up my camera.
I see video.
Yay.
Looking good. Looking like a mom who's got two kids now and living the life, the parental life.
Yeah.
How's it going? You doing all right?
Doing good.
Fantastic.
Doing all right.
Yeah. Last time we
I had to set up my camera because I was on Trivia Geeks over the weekend with Steven Schleicher.
Yeah,
that's right.
I heard that. I heard that went well. I heard it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, they put together a great show. So
they do.
Thank you, Sean, Carrie, and Michael. Michael, we almost had it.
I need to get on there. I've been asked before, and I keep having things come up, and I haven't had a chance, but it sounds like fun, and I want to go on. It's always two guests, right? Somebody else to go against? Okay.
You pair up with either Carrie or Michael, mm-hmm. so you work as a team.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah. And then, see, that's my worry. If I went up against Ibbot or something, I'd need some real help.
Right. Well, yeah, right.
Because he'll kill me.
Sure.
Nicole's here doing recommendals. We do this every week where we talk about stuff we are watching or seeing. We've been doing things like themes lately based on that board game you got, and I really like that.
Sell my cards. Yeah,
It's pretty awesome. I'm going to tell people or remind people what today's theme is because I have a photo of it right here, and it is horror or suspense has to be the theme or genre, and it needs to feature props like a cat, a dog, or a dinosaur.
Right.
So... Brian, I have to give you a little thanks here for sending me a link that really made this easier.
Yeah, right. Oh, I need to give this to Nicole, too.
Yeah, much simpler. So this like genre link thing you sent me that breaks down everything possible.
You've got your base categories in Netflix, right? When you go up to the top and it says browse, and you've got like sci-fi, horror, drama, comedy, etc.
Yeah.
People did some deep dive digging. And when you choose one of those categories, you see that it's like Netflix / category, I think, or browse / genre, and then a number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody did some deep digging into the site and figured out all of those numbers. So there's a bunch that you don't see on there, like
1960
science and nature documentaries.
Exactly. Like subgenres, they don't break out.
Right, exactly. Romantic gay and lesbian movies.
Right.
Is this a separate website or is this the Netflix hacks?
No, it's a separate thing.
It's a separate website that lists all these, but it takes you to Netflix when you go to them. And this list is humongous. So like basically, and I just put in Skype for you. So you do a search. So basically you pull up this website and then you do a search for the type of movie that you're looking for. Here we go. And then it takes you click on the link and then it takes you to that category at Netflix where you can say, all right, here's the 11 movies that are cerebral French language dramas from the 1960s.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's so cool. So as it turns out, works really well for what we're doing here.
Oh, cool. Right.
And it makes it so you can maybe even do some discoverables. You're like, well, wait, what is that? I want to see that. Like, it's super cool. So
it is really cool.
Anyway, there's that. And it's not a short URL, is it, Brian? I wish it was. So we could just tell people.
Right. No, it's ogres-crypt.com/public. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make a little tiny CC for it or something. But anyway, so it is horror suspense, cat, dog, and a dinosaur. I'm going to play Brian's clip first, as is our tradition. And we'll see how you do.
Yeah, this is a horror, all right.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Okay, I have it. Here it is. I'll play it. Here we go.
I can't believe I'm trusting you. You're a fake.
And what are you, a hero? A thief? A freak? If you don't have an identity, why keep it a secret?
Because you killed me. It was me you flushed down the pipes. Patience Phillips.
That's who's under the... That sounds terrible. What is this?
This is totally like 80s.
Yes. No, believe it or not, it's not.
Is it early 90s?
2004, this thing came out. Wow. Yes. And you were hearing the voices there of Holly Berry and Sharon Stone fighting against one another.
Is this Batman?
It is not Batman, but boy, you're close.
It's Catwoman.
It is Catwoman. Oh, and this Catwoman. Thing, for years I'd heard about how horrible this movie was. And I said, well, come on, how bad could it be? You know, maybe Holly Berry's really good in it, but the script isn't good. Or maybe the set pieces, the special effects aren't good. No, I'm here to tell you that there is nothing good about this movie.
It's not even campy or...
It's not even... You know what? We were laughing. Okay. We were laughing at it. So I guess there is something good. It is laughable. But it is painfully bad.
I wonder...
Did you happen to see the interview that... Sean from Blade Runner, the woman...
Sean Young.
She dressed up as Catwoman because she wanted this role.
She wanted this part. Yeah, but this wasn't for this movie. It was for It was the second Tim Burton movie.
Oh, okay.
She wanted to be Catwoman. So she came out, what was it? Like it was a talk show.
Talk show, and she was in full Catwoman garb. And
she strolls out like, yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Sean Young is an interesting human being. She's out there.
But I was hoping there'd be something redeeming, and I can wholeheartedly recommend that you never watch this movie. Not even for FilmSack. I was thinking, you know, this probably would be good for FilmSack. And you know what? It probably would be good for FilmSack. I just don't want to sit through it again. But yeah. So it's Halle Berry as Catwoman. It is less like Catwoman the comic book and more like a woman who is slowly turning into a cat because she eats tuna right out of the can. Once she comes back to life after getting flushed down the pipes, as you heard her talk about in that clip, these cats rescue her, and she eats tuna right out of the can.
Big turds.
That's right. She poops on the floor and tries to cover it up with the carpet. She's affected by catnip.
She does not poop on the floor.
She doesn't poop on the floor. Okay.
I believed you for a second as well. I just thought it's
it
like
also
the fly.
Features Alex Borstein as her best friend, who's the voice of Lois on Family Guy.
Oh,
and it's kind of weird because there are times in the movie when Alex Borstein is talking, and you're like, oh, that's Lois. Peter. I can totally hear Lois.
Peter. Yeah, she's exactly. She's not too far off from that character.
No, but Francis Conroy is in this. Benjamin Bratt. You know, ex Mr. Julia Roberts for a while.
I liked him as an actor. Yeah. He was great on Law and Order.
He's
really good.
Good
on Law.
It has
Order.
A lot of good people in it, but
just kind of poo.
It just really, it deserved every Razzie Award it got.
I like you too much as a friend and as a co-host to make you ever watch that again for FilmSack. So I feel like we should hurry and watch it for FilmSack so that you remember everything.
Right. If we were going to do it for FilmSack, we better do it within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, or else it's gone. All right. Well, there you go. Don't see it, you're saying. It's garbage.
Don't see it.
Unless we do FilmSack, then see it.
It's a pile of hot cat poo.
All right. I like that rating. Here's my
Halle
clip.
Berry. I think it said Halle Berry. Yeah. Halle Berry. See, this is the segment where we mispronounce.
Jeez, Brian. Just can't
exactly.
pronounce names.
Yeah, I can't get those names right. Let's see here. Here's mine. This is actually a film. The only hint will be Brian and I have seen this sort of recently. Not really recent, but anyway, it's... And it's a little bit of a cheat. I'll explain why in a minute. Here you go.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not your grant until you get it.
If I don't get it, I'm out of work. My staff is out of work.
You shouldn't take it so personal.
You really are a gerbil.
All right.
Sounds like Amy Adams.
It's not her.
Oh, it sounded like
I'll give you the year. It's 94 is the year.
It's that other woman we really like, though.
It's a movie that you could probably classify as a horror movie, although I would say, it's a horror movie. It's pretty action-y too, but it's a horror movie. I'll give you another hint. It happens in a museum. The entire thing, pretty much.
Huh. Mimic. Relic.
Relic is correct.
Relic, yes.
Mimic is close. Actually, I was gonna do Mimic, but that's been pulled. Only Mimic 2 and 3 are streaming, and they're terrible. One is pretty
that's
good.
Right.
It's Relic.
Relic, and, that's not Mira Sorvino. That was the other one.
Yeah, that's Mimic.
Yeah, Penelope Ann Miller.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. And also, dude, what was always in drug trouble and going out with Heidi Fleiss. Can't think of his name now.
Viziel? No.
No. Saving Private Ryan. He was also in Black Hawk Down. He's a big fella.
he was...
Dr. Drew's.
Sizemore.
Sizemore. Tom Sizemore.
Right. There was a reality show about, was it Being Tom Sizemore or something?
Something
like that.
Like that. He was also on that Dr. Drew thing when he was.
Breaking Sizemore.
Yeah. he's really good in it, actually. I really like The Relic. I'm a fan of it. And it's about this this box with this old creature in it. And the reason it's a cheat. Is because while it isn't exactly a dog, it's basically a big dog.
Right. It's a dinosaur dog.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur dog. And so that's how I fit it in here. It's a horror movie.
An Egyptian
dinosaur dog. And I actually think it's a pretty good time. It's not, it holds up all right for a film in 94. It also is the one movie I'll never forget. My daughter was like 2 months old, and we took her to this movie, because the sitter fell through or something, and we still wanted to see the movie. And it was the first time we realized that she was the perfect kid in that she sleeps through entire films, no matter how loud they are. Doesn't matter how loud or raucous they are, slept through the whole thing. And so we could take her to any movie, anytime. Here's what we didn't know. That did not apply to the other two kids. They were the spazziest, screamingest movie kids ever. So we got lucky with one. The other two, not so much. But anyway, that's my movie. You should see it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a good time. I liked it. We watched it for Film Sack, but I came away enjoying it.
Yes.
All right, Nicole.
Okay.
Lay it on us.
Here's mine.
Okay. I'm ready. My body is ready.
All right. Hopefully the levels are good. Here we go.
Where are you? Son of a bitch, I know you're in here.
Okay, I'll stop it there.
Is that Pet Cemetery? Is that Pet Cemetery?
No.
Oh, it's not. Oh, I thought it was.
I thought it was his name.
But it's got to be Stephen King, though.
Maybe. It's 80s for sure. That music
is Stephen King.
Yeah, that's not Cat's Eye.
Maybe it is Cat's Eye.
No, Cat's Eye wasn't streaming. That was the first one I looked for because I love Cat's Eye.
Mm. Hold on. Stephen King, I'm going to get this.
You won't get it.
This isn't Freak Show, is it?
No.
Okay.
Tales from the Crypt?
That's one you're, I think Freak Show is the one you're thinking of.
Oh, Brian, you're so close.
Tales from the Crypt. Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes. Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
That's right. That's with Debbie Harry, right?
With Debbie Harry.
Yes.
That was the actor you heard in there was Buster Poindexter.
Yeah. Right. Yes. It's a cat that's.
Oh, from the New York Dolls Buster Poindexter guy. Is that who that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Is that you, Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah.
Hot, Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
So this is three movies, very similar to Creepshow.
And Cat's Eye, for that matter.
Yeah. So we have there's actually four. There's the main story with Deborah Harry, like you were saying.
The interstitial.
And one of the Lawrence boys. Not Joey Lawrence, but his younger brother.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wait, so this is an anthology. It's like,
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's four
stories.
Just like
Creepshow and Tales from the Crypt.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So the story I was playing for you is a story called Cat from Hell, written by Stephen King and adapted by George Romero.
George Romero, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Creepshow, not Freakshow. Sorry. Sorry. I was mixing that up with something else. Someone was going to email us. Now we've stopped it. All right, go ahead.
That story. It's about a black cat, and William Hickey plays an old man bound to a wheelchair who's made his fortune testing cats, his drug on, I think they say like 5,000 cats or something like this, and he thinks this cat's coming after him.
Wait.
And he hires Buster Poindexter to take care of the cat.
William Hickey, so that's, who remind me of William Hickey. Why is that ringing a
bell? William Hickey.
Oh, is he he's Uncle Lewis?
Yes.
I love Uncle Lewis.
You forgot your hearing aid again.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
He's all right.
My favorite William Hickey is the scene with Billy Crystal, where he's reading every sign that they drive by and forget Paris.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. Yeah, that's the guy.
Boys, open 24 hours.
He's also, one of his latter films or films before he died was Nightmare Before Christmas, and he was the voice of the Dr. Finkelstein.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, he's great.
Lovely.
Really, really good. Anyway.
Yeah, he was wonderful on Christmas Vacation, too. When he's sitting at the table, he's like, the blessing.
The blessing. Yeah, Uncle Lewis, he's the best.
Yeah. All right, so that's the second story. The first story is called Lot 249, and that stars Steve Buscemi and Julie. Is it Juliana Moore?
Julianne
Moore.
Well, anyway, Kristen Slater.
And really?
Yeah.
Did you say Christian Slayer? Because that's awesome.
Slater.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you said Slayer, and that is badass. Christian Slayer.
Christian Slayer.
My new name is Christian Slayer. I'm going to go by that name from now on.
That's what the lions were.
Speaking of Christian Slayer, how awesome is Mr. Robot?
I still haven't seen
it. Yeah.
And it won the Golden Globe.
Won a couple, right? Because Christian Slater won, and then Mr. Robot won as a whole.
Against Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's good.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I want to see it. I still have not. It's on. I own the season. I just need to watch the damn thing.
Yeah, I really wish Cat's Eye was streaming, because I think of all of the anthology films, I seem to like that one better. It had like the perfect blend between comedy and horror.
Mm-hmm.
And they all were connected by this cat who, you know, was basically trying to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish that was streaming. It's not even. I don't even think you can get the disc on Netflix.
The last story in this anthology, Lover's Vow, with Radon Chong, that one sticks with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind me that. So
Tommy Chong's daughter.
What's that?
That's Tommy Chong's daughter. Yeah. Yeah. Dave's not here, man.
Based off of a Japanese folklore. And the way that the story kind of plays out is guy's in a bar with his buddy. They both leave late at night, and a gargoyle type creature comes down and kills his buddy and tells him, I will let you live, but you can never tell anyone what you've seen, anything.
Right. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful woman shows up and starts dating this guy. After dating for a while, the heat of passion, he says, Oh, you remember that night that we met?
Spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it. That's as far as I'll go.
All right.
So don't
spoil this film made in the 80s.
A lot of people haven't seen it. They're great.
No, they should go see that. That is really good. And the whole Debbie Harry thing is really good too.
Yeah, she's, I like her.
I do too.
Netflix streaming, not on Amazon Prime, but Netflix streaming. So, and of course, the cat is the prop in that one segment.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You actually stuck to the closest, I think. Well, no, Brian, what was yours? Yours was a horror movie.
It was
about
a horror movie. It was a horror.
About a cat. I don't know about
it. It wasn't intentionally a horror.
And she's not really a cat, but that's fine. We'll take
it. You know what? It's also a tragedy that has to do with superheroes. So I made up for not being here last week.
Yeah. Well, any chance we get to bring up William Hickey is fine with me.
Absolutely.
Very good. What's next week's? Roll your
dice. Draw some new cards.
Yeah.
All right. So these are the categories we can pick from.
Okay.
Production, scene, setting, props, characters, and theme and genre.
Let's do something with props.
Yeah. I like props.
And what was the one? Was there another one you liked, Scott?
I liked characters.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Character and prop.
All right. So for our characters, we have jocks, nerds, or punks.
Okay.
So they have either a jock, a nerd, or a punk.
Okay.
And the props, either red or white or blue.
Wow.
What?
All right.
Either red, white, or blue, or it can be red, white, and blue.
You probably could do red, white, and blue.
You can do
any combination of the three.
Sure. Okay. Well, if I made the relic dinosaur dog into an animal, then I guess I can do anything.
Jocks,
nerds, punks, red, white, or blue, or all three.
Love it.
Yeah, so I'll take a picture and send it to you, so don't forget.
Cool.
All right, sweet. I actually wrote this one down for once. There you go, everyone. Nicole's bag, always a pleasure. Looking forward to doing this again next week. It's nice
Me
to see
too.
You. And my best, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Nicole's bag on Twitter, everybody. Okay. Brian?
Yes.
Tom time.
Okay.
Ain't shit would, do about
would
it.
Ferris Bueller's Ferrari be considered a prop?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that one, but
I think it would, though. I mean, technically.
Yeah, it totally would be, yeah.
Technically, that's a prop. I can't think of why it wouldn't be.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
It is time for Tom's Tech Time with Tom Merritt, who is here right now. Tasty Tom Time with Tom's Tasty Tom Time Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Scott and Brian.
How's it going, Tom? Man? It's nice to see you, hear you, be near you.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, it is.
So good. Glad there's no IBIT connection problems.
Nope.
Glad we're not off on holidays.
Right.
It's just back
client
to normal.
Call.
Yeah, you're not on some weird call. Everyone's here. Everything's fine. Everyone calm down. Stand down, Oregon. Stand down. Tom, it's always a pleasure. Wednesdays, you come on the show. We talk about the technology of the day. Later today, I'll be joining you for your daily tech news show, talking about those very things. What's on the important mind of
down
Tom Merritt?
The CES stuff.
Oh yeah, it's all CES cooldown now, right? Everyone's done
with
that.
The cooldown has popped on CES, so we can proc it again next year.
Okay. It's got a long cooldown, but not long enough.
Wow. Yeah.
Some people think not long enough. I saw a great screenshot of somebody had gotten I guess they have the CES app, and on their lock screen, it said, thanks, see you at CES 2017.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy was like, F your black dirty heart, mother effer, or something like that.
And that's the sentiment, because first of all, CES is a long march for the people who do it. You always get the feeling, I always did, and I still hear it from people, that they have moved to CES. They live at CES now. Mm-hmm. And then because it happens right at the beginning of the year, you're not quite used to the new year number.
Yeah.
So it feels farther away to say 2017. That feels 2 years away.
Yeah, sure.
Like, what?
Yeah, that seems like a weird... All times goes out the door while you're at CES. I mean, talking to Veronica offline...
It messes with time.
Yeah, you get real spent there.
It's dangerous.
Very dangerous. But what is not dangerous is your attempt to talk about what is on the minds of technologists today. And there seems like there's a lot of talk about VR still, but real quick, even if this isn't on the table, I'm curious about the pre-order date for the Vive is interesting. As we don't know a price there, but there's a rumor floating around today, which normally we don't report on rumors, but some are saying like upwards of $1,500 the VR kit.
Yeah, sure.
That's crazy.
You know, there was some Oculus jerk podcaster who said that the Oculus was going to be $1,200. Mm-hmm. He turned out to be really wrong and embarrassed at himself.
Yeah.
Because he had forgotten that Palmer Luckey had said it would be in the ballpark of the developer kit to begin with. So I wouldn't put much confidence in any of that till February 29th rolls around and we see what HTC is going to sell the Vive for. It would be ridiculous for them to sell it for $1,500, especially with all of the rage at the Oculus Rift having a perfectly defensible $599 charge for its first piece of gear and the things that you get with it. But whatever, like if it's too expensive for you, don't buy it. But I expect the Vive to come in below the Oculus this time.
I do too. My feeling is because it's a much more gamer focused device by the sheer fact that it's Valve's initiative and all that. I mean, I know they'll have other focuses as well, but much more than the Oculus anyway, they can't throw their core under the bus by saying, sorry, gamers, it's $1,500. You know, other comparable devices are going to be a lot less than ours. I just don't think they do it. So I think
I imagine it will come in around the same price.
Yeah.
I think it would be dead in the water if it came in at $1,500. So I don't know where people are getting that idea. Don't forget that the bundled Oculus Rift with a compatible PC is $1,400.
Mm.
So
that's a good point.
Maybe there's an HTC Vive bundle that'll be $1,500. Right, I mean, I think PC. That's what the Dell one is.
Yeah.
Because you get the Alienware PC.
Well, it's also kind of a safe rumor to make because you can say that. And then when it does come around that it's with a PC, you can go, oh, well, I guess the rumor was about the PC. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Zero stock in that number.
I always like to go to Tom whenever I hear something that seems rumory. I like to go to Tom just to clear my mind. It's like,
here's the thing that you when you do this every day or even every week, as you do, mm-hmm. you start to realize there are rumors and there are rumors.
Yeah.
There are the things that come from Mark Gurman at 9to5 Mac where you're like, even if I don't believe it, like that guy's track record is pretty spot on. He occasionally gets something a little wrong, but you know to be like, okay, that's worth paying attention to. You've got your outlets like Ars Technica, Wall Street Journal, who are very good at vetting the things before they say, okay, we've got a couple of sources saying this. We think it's probably true. Their track record is pretty good as well. And then you have blogs. And in general, when I say that, I mean, Ars Technica is conceivably could be considered a blog, but you have people who are saying, okay, I have talked to a source, and it's like, okay, well, what's your track record?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know the source is telling you the right thing? How do you know you haven't misinterpreted what they were telling you? So you gotta take it with a grain of salt, or even maybe a whole teaspoon.
Whoa, that's a lot of salt.
I know. You really should go for a low-sodium diet, so don't follow rumors.
It's bad for your heart. Yeah. All right, well, what is happening today? What's exciting?
Well, as I often like to do, I want to give you a choice.
All right.
Do you want to talk about the falling PC sales, which I actually wrote up a nice little analysis that I put on the Daily Tech News Show Patreon, which you don't even have to be a patron to read. Just go over to patreon.com/DTNS if you want to read that. We could talk about that falling PC sales, or we could talk about the fact that the woman who produced Pulp Fiction is now going to run Activision Blizzard's film studio.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, why would we want to talk about sales on PCs that fall?
Sales on PCs it is.
All right. this is news to me. I had no idea. I'm so excited now. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, Variety has the news. Stacy Scher has been named co-president of Activision Blizzard Studios. Now, remember, this is a separate division under Activision Blizzard charged with making film and TV properties around the intellectual properties like Call of Duty and World of Warcraft. Mm. The Warcraft movie is outside of this because it was started before they created this unit, but the Skylander series that's coming out will be part of this unit. She's co-president with a guy named Nick Van Dyke, not Dick Van Dyke.
All right.
Nick Van Dyke, who was a business strategy guy at Disney before he came over. So he's the strategy part, she's the content creative part, and she produced Hateful Eight, she produced Pulp Fiction, she produced Reno 911. So she's got a really good track record of getting involved with high quality films and TV, well, Reno 911 is fun. I don't know if it's high quality or not, but so it'll be interesting to see what this means for Activision Blizzard, but it definitely sounds like they want to run a film studio. They want to put out TV series. They want to put out movies around both the Activision and Blizzard IPs.
I suspect that the timing of this, well, I mean, whenever it's Activision Blizzard, you always have to, it's so easy for me who's shrouded in the blanket of warm, cozy Blizzard all the time to always apply these news beats to Blizzard, like when they bought MLG or when they hired the ESPN guy or all those things. I always want to go, oh, well, that's because of Blizzard. And in a lot of cases, that may be true, but I also forget about the Activision side of it, which is kind of a big deal. Their Skylander series is a huge popular thing that probably has 10 films in its arsenal if they wanted. Certainly there's
they're doing
a
TV series around.
Yeah, exactly. So we already know they have properties they can work with and do things with. Call of Duty even has probably some potential with that. However, I'll bet the timing of this aligns nicely with their plans for Overwatch Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And from what they said at BlizzCon and based on some of the things we've seen since, it sounds very much like this is a way to solidify all of that so they can hit the ground running with that game come next, well, I guess it's now this year's summer release, so that they can start doing what they wanted to do. Do you think, Tom, though, these productions, I mean, it's one thing to have a production side. It's another thing to have deals as to where it will show or be. Is this exclusive, like, you stream it on Blizzard's site?
No. That is not my impression.
Right,
anyway,
right.
What this looks like is this has nothing to do, they're going to some lengths to say this is a separate division. This is not Blizzard making movies. This is not Activision making movies. This is a division that makes movie and TV shows. And so they will act like Legendary. Mm-hmm. They will make some things original. They'll make some things for sites. They'll make some things for Netflix. They'll make some things for theaters. They'll make some things for broadcast, whatever, wherever they can strike the deals. They're a production company that's going to figure out like what's best for each property as it comes out, is my impression. That's not what they're saying. I'm not quoting anybody, but that my impression is they want to, instead of having to go to Legendary and saying, okay, we'd like to make a movie, let's work with you guys, what director you want to have, you've got somebody in house who's a producer now. You've got Cher, Stacy Cher, not Dove Singer, who has all these relationships. I mean, it's conceivable. She's done several Quentin Tarantino properties, including Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction. You could see a Quentin Tarantino movie using characters from Warcraft or Starcraft. It's independent. So it's like you have a production company who has the rights. They don't have to negotiate them and can work with people to make cool stuff. And that's the challenge that she was saying in her interviews is, yeah, historically video game movies don't have a good track record, but don't forget there was a time when comic book based movies had a horrible track record, and that has changed. So we're hopeful we can do that too.
I'm very interested. the more that they, I bet the experience with Legendary, who also recently got bought by a Japanese or a Chinese conglomerate, right? That just happened. But Legendary Entertainment working with Blizzard probably ushered in some feelings on Blizzard's part that we want to have more control over these things. Because everything, well, I based some of this on just some rumblings that I probably not allowed to talk about. But it just, it sounds like that relationship can be frustrating no matter who you are. Because, you know, film executives and film studios have a very different sort of, what's the word? They have a different pattern they take to get their stuff out. Right. Than a game company might, or a different attention to detail, whether it be greater or lower or whatever. And so Blizzard and Activision's desire to have more control over the actual production of what they do and only have to deal with outside distribution makes tons of sense to me.
And I think you nailed what the big challenge is going to be, is Activision Blizzard itself is going to say, hey, okay, so when we worked with Legendary and when we've worked with other outside producers, they haven't wanted to do this, so we really want you to do this. And we'll see if Stacey Scher goes, well, yeah, but there's a real good reason they wanted you to do that. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't do that. Like, you do have a little bit of a culture clash. Sometimes that can end up creating a great new way of doing things. Other times it can end up just kind of handcuffing both sides, and they end up doing less than they would have if they hadn't brought it in-house. So I'll be curious to see which way this goes. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to damn it from the outset either. I'm just saying, you know, that's something that can be a positive or a negative.
Yeah, I'm actually very anxious and curious to see what they do, because there's so much creativity on the film set. People have said for years Blizzard's own CGI, internal CGI team should be making films themselves. Maybe this frees not them up so much, but it frees up something so that those kinds of things might happen. You know, it's not inconceivable, for example, that we'd get a StarCraft story, animated CGI story on Netflix or something.
It's like a regular series.
That'd be amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great. Yeah. Totally. I mean, look at Avengers. You have an animated series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's original for Netflix. I don't think it is, actually.
I don't think it is. I think
you could watch it on Netflix.
Sure.
Yeah, it's but you have an animated series. And then you have the movies. Mm-hmm. And I could absolutely see, especially in the wake of Star Wars success, you're going to see a lot of people trying to do space stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like the Clone Wars and the newer one, the Rebel, what's it called?
I'm talking about movies.
Right.
So look for a StarCraft movie, possibly supported by ancillary material that's animated, you know, along the lines of the Skylanders animation.
Yeah, I'd be all up in that. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
My first reaction when I read this news today was like, oh no, more TV shows I want to watch. I don't have time.
Right.
Look, we have so much choice now. It is kind of annoying, to be honest.
Yeah. Stop making such good stuff.
Yes. Make time for the Expanse, though. That's real good, everybody. I'm really into it.
I miss the days of, is it Falcon Crest or Mork and Mindy? Which one will I watch?
You know, it was an easy choice.
The Blues are playing on Channel 11. Yeah. I guess I'll watch
that. I'll go watch that instead. I'll go outside and play. That's what I would do. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to talking about this and other stuff later today at 2:30.
Real quick side note. Yes. You mentioned Legendary being bought by a Chinese company. There's some misinterpretation going around about that. The Wanda Group is the Chinese company that has acquired an interest in Legendary. They all already own AMC Theaters. Mm. So it's not like, oh, some weird Chinese company we've never heard of suddenly has taken over Legendary. Legendary had Chinese investors before this, and now think of it as the company who runs AMC Theaters just bought Legendary Entertainment. I think that's more interesting than the fact that they happen to be in China.
Yeah, I completely agree. Some people
used to be a problem, people owning theaters and movie companies.
It sure did. Still, and if they think about it real hard, might still have a problem with it, but... And it's funny how that hasn't really come up in any of the discussions. Maybe we'll talk about that later, too. Oh, and also, my joke is that the effect is that the sequels to the Warcraft movie will feature more pandas and no undead, just like the game itself. Right. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure.
I play it.
I know you do. And if you played it in China, your elbows with the bones sticking out would be nice and smooth like skin.
I know.
It's unfortunate.
It's one of the things that will keep me from moving to China.
They even changed. My favorite thing they changed was when they put out some Pandaria expansion content or patch content here. When there was like a big outdoor event, your bones and bodies would be strewn all over the battlefield when you'd keep dying and coming back. In China, they forced them to put gravestones everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there was like 1,000 gravestones. Haunting. Isn't that crazy?
It's kind of cool, actually.
If it were me. If it were me, I would have said, just have you disappear and have nothing there. You know?
That's right.
Just have it
who,
not.
Who chisels out those gravestones every time?
Business is booming.
In China, we've never been higher with the business. Anyway, later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, that'll happen. Anything else, Tom, you'd like to mention?
I would like to remind people that got a book called Citadel 32. It's about a colony on the moon that is abandoned after a after an apocalyptic event on Earth. Stories told from the perspective of people on Earth who wonder if that story about people being on the moon could have been true, and people on the moon wondering if there's anybody left on Earth. It's called Citadel 32, and it's recently reduced on ebook price to $2.99. You can get it at tommerrittbooks.com, and it comes with a Scott Johnson cover.
Whoa.
Ooh.
I wasn't aware of this. I'm going to rush out and buy it. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Sure. We'll talk to you later today, sir.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now.
See ya.
I'm so affable at the end. Thanks, y'all. I like
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, y'all.
I like that a lot. All right, I'm going to play some quick phone calls for you, Brian.
All right.
Here's one that we got from Rogue Tess.
Oh,
These are all short, but I like Teresa. When she calls in. So here's Teresa. Check it out.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Teresa, a.k.a. Rogue Tess, calling about the best TV themes that you discussed on the morning stream. One word, taxi.
Oh,
have a great new year. Love the show, though.
All right, taxi. We didn't.
Song called Angela, I believe.
Yeah, it's a great song. How's it go? Yep, and the taxi be quietly just moving along. And then later, Danny DeVito would yell at Doc Brown.
Rieger, get your taxi in here. Where's your slips?
I used to really like taxi reruns. I was really into it. I thought that show was great. It was really fun.
It was really good.
Elaine, we've got to get you back to 1985. Get your kids.
All right. Here's one from, I don't know what this is, but here.
I like the description.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you see the description?
Now I see the description.
Now you'll hear the thing.
I think I might have solved your voicemail issue. It goes as follows. I don't think it's supposed to go up there. And then they turn on the vibrator and it goes in the butt. Have a good one.
Jeez. I don't know, man. Jeez. Here, let me play that call again.
The original, yeah.
Here.
Totally fine.
Oh, that's you. Hold
that's
on.
That's me.
What? Wait. Sorry. Here it is.
LOL.
LOL. Okay. Nah, I still don't hear his interpretation. Nobody's figured that out yet.
No.
I know there's some theories going on. It was either on our new Slack thing, or it was maybe on the Reddit. I'm not sure.
Right.
But there's some theories.
There's
All right, things. Here's this one. I don't know what to make of it.
The morning stream is fully armed and operational.
All right. I'm a little worried about some of our listeners lately.
Yeah. Can we get unlisted? Is it too late? Is the number already out there?
It's too late to get unlisted and to get a fish sandwich. That's it for calls for today. I had to clean some of these out. I'll have a new
Glad
selection.
Glad you did.
Tomorrow.
I like those.
Yeah, they're pretty good. All right, tomorrow, Therapy Thursday with Wendy. Got some big news about that coming up too, as well. In addition to that, so come on back tomorrow. And that's it. Patreon.com/TMS will not only get you our love and respect and adoration forever because you help support the show, but it'll also get you access into the exclusive TMS supporters Patreon Slack group, which is booming in there.
Yes,
Chatter McChatterboxes.
That's Woo. Right.
It's great. Love watching.
And different groups opening up in there. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's real cool. Good.
Talk about anything you want. Ferners. There's a Ferners group.
What's a Ferner?
Where you can talk with other Ferners.
What do Ferners do? Is it a fern lovers? Like you like
Foreigners.
The fern? Oh,
Stern Ferners.
Oh, got it. Foreigners. Yes. I was thinking like people that are into growing ferns or something like that.
Right.
But anyway, that's how you get in there. So go over there, patreon.com/TMS, and consider supporting the show. Today. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Leave those voicemails at 801-471-0462 and follow us on Twitter. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Reminder, new Coverville today. I think that's one to look forward to for sure. All this stuff about David Bowie this week will culminate well on Brian's
I hope so.
To tribute to
we'll
him.
See. I'm taking a nap after this show. We'll see.
Yeah, that sounds nice. That sounds so nice right now. Good Lord, that sounds nice. Frogpants.reddit.com is our Reddit subreddit. Brian is not getting sick. He refuses to do it.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
He's going to live Beatty's.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Brian, give us music and we can go.
Not before this trip. Hey, Scott and Brian, writes Jamie. Back in December, my wife and I welcomed our beautiful daughter, Ember, to the world. We already have a 2.5-year-old boy keeping us busy, so life has been quite hectic. Coming up on January 16th, she'll already be a month old. It's amazing how much she's already touched our lives in this short amount of time. I didn't know I could care about someone so greatly by default. She's my princess, and I love her dearly. I leave this request in your capable hands, Brian. I want to dedicate a nice acoustic guitar or piano cover to my new daughter. I'm sure you'll pick something touching. All the feels. Failing that, Scott can always press the button. Love the show, though. Jamie in BC.
Oh, I can press the button, can I?
Uppy bum.
There you go.
Uppy bum.
Take it.
And the request is, make me cry at work. This is your objective.
Oh.
Well, okay.
Wow.
Can do.
Can do, indeed.
This one should get you right in the feels. I was going to play a cover of Cat in the Cradle, but I decided not to because that's one of the ones that's always brings a tear to my eye. But you wouldn't want a happy tear to come to your eye. And this song will certainly do it. From the 2013 album For Freedom, this is Jenny and Tyler and their cover of Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. Bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.